You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back. It's Thursday. It's the last Thursday of the month, and that means that this is the roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy brought to you by House of Pain. Visit superhumanradio.com. Click the House of Pain banner ad to learn more about House of Pain t-shirts, lifting gear, and accessories. And before we get started, we have to give a shout out to Julia Nails Johnson. Happy 32nd birthday, Julia. You don't look a day over 29. And Wade, you can give me that money later. But anyway, happy birthday, Julia, and we're so glad that you let Wade do the show today because we know that he should be focused on you and not on strength and hypertrophy. So there you go. All right, so in the spirit of time off, I guess we could say, today's discussion is going to be about deloading. It's a term I learned about a long, long time ago that usually was associated more so with power lifters who push their bodies to peak for an event and then would deload afterwards. So I'm going to ask each of you to give me your definition of deloading. And I'm going to start with you, Wade, since we're going to start with the powerlifting side of it. What does deloading mean to you?
Well, it's based on how people train in their protocol. They'll schedule what they call some deloading a week, maybe even 2 weeks, to where you lessen the intensity, lessen the weight, so to speak, to kind of give the body a break and maybe revamp. It's not something that personally I've ever done where I go, okay, I've trained this hard for X amount of time. I need to schedule a week or two, you know, to where I deload. But by and large, as powerlifters, that's how it's done.
Now, do you think that you've instinctively deloaded? So, in other words, like let's go back for a moment to the event where you squatted 1,040 pounds. After that event, did you go back into the gym and train just as hard as you had been?
Oh, or
did you
No. I you know that was such a different time for me. That meet, you know, once I was done with that, it was like, you know, that was achieving a lifetime goal. So for me, it was more, I'm going to take a couple of weeks just to kind of chill out. That meet, you know, took such an inordinate amount of energy out of me. But after any other meet, the following week, I was back in the gym. Now, I wasn't, you know, training as heavy or as hard, but I was in motion. So deloading more for a powerlifter is more during the training cycle where you're giving the body a break, kind of revamping. A lot of times they'll deload even right before the meet.
Really?
Because there's just a point to where you're only going to get so much strength gains out of the training cycle, and now we're going to get some work in, you know, but we're not going to go as hard and as heavy, trying to, you know, keep the body fresh and kind of be ready to peak.
You know, that really does make perfect sense as I go to Rob Regish, because Rob is a proponent of specifically scheduled deloading periods, which is what part of the blueprint is built on. What do you think about that, Rob? You, in fact, said to me once that deloading is how you get guys to hit PRs.
Yeah, you know, at its simplest, you can think about it like this. Once the body's adaptive energies have been really heightened through a long period of very intense training and higher volume, a deload is simply, at the right moment, pulling back a little bit to allow the body to slingshot forward and supercompensate in both size and strength. And loading pattern that we use in the blueprint has a planned deload day. And if you look historically at any of the loading patterns that were used in the past, and you actually crunch the numbers, meaning total weight times reps times sets, you will see very specific periods in each loading pattern workouts where they pull the throttle back a little bit so that the body can slingshot forward a little farther than it otherwise would if you had just continued to hammer away with more volume and more weight and more rep and more sets. There's an old saying, fatigue masks fitness. And that simply refers to what we're talking about here, deloading. You know, when your body's adaptive energies are at their highest and you deload, the body will slingshot forward, and it's unmasked at that point and expressed as a brand new one rep max in most cases.
Now, Coach, I'm going to go back to you for a second, Coach Johnson. Does deloading have to be a specific period, like a one-week period, or can there be micro phases of deloading? Because I kind of feel like the dynamic wave training protocol that you've developed over decades actually utilizes deloading periods within the week. Is that true?
Yeah, that's how it's worked for me. It's one of those things where if I'm lifting a particular lift, you know, extremely heavy, then I will schedule a little lighter, you know, especially over a long training cycle. Like for this, for the last meet that I competed in, because I trained, you know, so many weeks in a row, that when I was really going for a squat, I would pull back on, you know, my bench, my decline, and my deadlift day, you know, just so I would not completely wipe myself out. And with reactive wave, we also, there's times where guys feel great, as opposed to it being scheduled. We're going to train hard for 6 weeks, then we'll have a scheduled week seven, so to speak, for example, deload week. You know, I'll have guys come in, and even if they, you know, feel great, you can start to tell based on form and their training numbers and how intense they are. I'll pull them back some. We try to keep the volume relatively the same, you know, but we'll react to the lifter more so than we will something scheduled. So that's basically how we do. If that makes any sense.
Well, but when like you say keep the volume where it is, are you going to keep the same set and rep schemes, but just lighten up on the weight? Is that all deloading is?
Well, I think it's a little different with how Rob is talking about it. For us, I try to keep the volume the same, but we'll pull the weight back. We always try to get the work in. And again, if it's a bigger issue, especially if the lifter is really fatigued or is showing signs of some CNS fatigue, I'll cut out the assistance altogether, or we'll focus on one or two, you know, movements versus the entire workload.
So Rob, are we, when we talk about deloading, are we talking about doing the same workout, for instance, same sets, same reps, same movements, but just going to like a 65% of your one rep maximum and not taking yourself to a fatigue point?
It varies by loading pattern. Some of them at their most basic will eliminate one set. So if the athlete has been doing six sets of a particular barbell movement, the deload workout will only be five sets, or four sets. And so you trim off, you know, categorically 20%, 25%, 30% total workload, and therefore is the deload. I think the difference that you're hearing in Wade and I's approach is this. Wade works directly with athletes in his gym. He's able to spot and knows the signs to say, okay, you as an individual need to deload at this time. My guys, on the other hand, are scattered all over the world. I don't have the luxury of being in the gym with them. So in order to make sure that they deload at the appropriate time, I will prescribe one of, let's say, half a dozen loading patterns and say to them, okay, punch the numbers in and just follow the routine. What you will notice is during workout X, let's say there's six total workouts in the loading pattern, on workout 5, deload. Make sure you observe that deload and don't, you know, drill yourself into the ground. Shave off that extra set it's telling you to do. Because what happens is, it allows the body the time to supercompensate and slingshot into their final workout where they almost invariably peak with a new one rep max. So, it's just a way of saying, I think Wade and I do the same thing, just in a slightly different way.
Well, yeah, he's able, like, he's more hands-on. He actually can tell when somebody really needs to, throttle it down a little bit, because
right.
he's watching their workouts, firsthand. I can understand that. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're gonna pick it up. We've got more to talk about on deloading, and then we've got a couple listener questions, and then we're going to catch up on Coach Johnson's training as he gets ready to embark on a competition in December. But before we do that, Coach Johnson, please plug your websites.
You can see me at johnsonstrengthgroup.com. There's Ogreware on there and some supplements. Weightlifting Discussion is where we have a training forum. I've got a personal Facebook page and a Johnson Strength Facebook page, and you can reach me at supersquat800@yahoo.com and johnsonstrength@yahoo.com.
And, of course, you can learn more about the Blueprint, as we're talking about here with Rob Regish, by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. And you can also learn about Rob's, Mass Pro Synthogen there. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Legal gear? Check out MrSups.com. MrSups.com carries only the best pro hormones, raw powders, and post-cycle products around. MrSups.com can deliver the goods, and no one beats MrSups.com on hardcore, barely legal pro hormones, because MrSups.com is the source. You get wholesale prices by cutting out the middleman. Don't waste your hard-earned money. Go to MrSups.com today and compare for yourself. You won't be disappointed. MrSups.com. That's MrSups.com. Cutting-edge products at wholesale prices.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
An aromatase inhibitor shown to be stronger than ATD and 6-oxo and a SERM to rival tamoxifen. Finally, muscle-building testosterone levels. Finally, 4-Max. Old-school testosterone boosters never did quite work that well because they fell short of critical levels of testosterone needed to build muscle. They only controlled estrogen. That's like flooring a gas pedal connected to a 4-cylinder engine. No matter how hard you push, the engine isn't going to run any faster. 4-Max changes that by signaling each level of testosterone production, replacing your old 4-cylinder with a supercharged V12. Get 4-Max. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the 4-Max banner ad today. Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else? AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Later in the show, Gordon Waddell will be on, talking about the problem with commercial fitness today. Right now, you're listening to the roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy, brought to you by House of Pain. We're talking about deloading. Now, deloading is something that should be important to anybody who is trying to acquire greater strength. Do you think that's a fair statement, Rob Regish?
Yeah, because, you know, as you pointed out earlier, if you don't deload, your body will force you to deload.
Okay. What about you, Wade? Do you think that anybody can benefit from some sort of attention to deloading, backing off, kind of coasting for some period of time in order to give the body time to recover and get stronger?
I think so, and I think it's one of those things that as you gain more experience, you'll instinctively know, you know, that you need to pull back the throttle a little bit, and that's something that's worked well for me, and that's kind of the whole basis of the reactive wave method is getting more and more in tune with your needs and what your body, you know, is telling you that, hey, I'm ready to go. Let's mat this thing and throw some gas to it. Or, you know, I'm not quite there. Let me pull back on the throttle, and, you know, that way I get, you know, the most out of the session. It's not just, you know, the only bad session is the one you miss. You know, also you have to be of the mindset that this is not a race, and that, you know, you take what the session gives you. You know, you give what you got to give. And then you take satisfaction in the work that you got done, because a lot of times we get so hung up in what the workload or what our loading patterns or whatever the case may be, what they call for, and we won't color outside of the lines, and so we either get fatigued or injured or burn out or whatever the case may be. So that's more about what reactive wave method is all about for me especially.
Well, this is what Coach Johnson just said, Rob Regish, is an important point, because I wanted to bring this up, actually. And he said, you know, this is not a race. So why not, instead of having to use deloading, why not, when you get to a certain level of strength, stay at that rep and loading scheme for a longer period of time before trying to advance to the next progression? Wouldn't that in and of itself be quite a sort of a deload period right there?
It sounds logical, but, you know, in practice, the problem is this. The more advanced the athlete, the quicker they will flatline. And the quicker you flatline, a lot of times the deeper the hole the athlete is going to dig for themselves insofar as, you know, they're eating into their recovery ability. Over and over and over, and I know I've said this before on prior programs, but it seems that of all the variables involved in weight training, reps are the variable that the body adapts to the quickest. So it concerns me when I see somebody staying in one place for too long. I just don't think it's good policy, knowing that the body is an adaptive mechanism, and you know, if you keep feeding it any one particular stimuli, bad things are going to happen. You know, flatlining is just one of them. Injuries, unfortunately, also occur. So I like to see guys and try to teach guys the art of knowing when to move on before any of that bad stuff happens, because that's really where the magic is. If you know when to move on and shift gears before you flatline, before you, you know, encounter all these problems, you're on to greener pastures, and that's really the art to this, because there's an art and there's a science. You can crunch numbers all day long, you can look at loading patterns all day long, but as Wade said, you know, he himself will evaluate an athlete, and he knows, based on all of his years of experience and body wisdom, that that athlete needs to do something different. And that comes with time, you know, unless, of course, you have a coach. If you're lucky enough to have a Wade Johnson, or somebody that can observe you to say it's time to move on, take advantage of it, because that really is the key.
Okay, so with that being the case, I'm going to go back to Coach Johnson and then come back to you, Rob.
Sure.
What is the longest that somebody should deload? Do you have a feel for that? It should just be a couple days? Is it a week deload period? What do you think?
Well, for me and for the athletes that I work with, I try to, you know, make it no longer than a week. But there's something that I'm doing. You understand where with what I do, everything is based on the core lifts. Even for just general strength, even for like football players and wrestlers, I make the focal point our big compound movement like squat. And where I change the stimulus is what we do for assistance. And traditionally, and we've talked about this before, you know, they'll go to leg press or leg extensions and leg curls. And we try to stick more to compound movements, and we'll do variations of the lift, and we'll also we'll pull the weight back and change our stance. That way, it's not really muscle confusion, because we're still squatting, using the
right
squat as an example. But you've changed what the primary mover is, whether we're moving out wider to bring the hips in more or bringing the stance in more for the quadriceps. We'll use different bars, like a cambered squat bar or a safety squat bar, so on and so forth. So we're always trying, and what I'll do is we'll do our main core work, and then we'll spend 2, sometimes 4 weeks with a secondary movement. And a lot of times I can tell by how the athlete is responding, you know, to those movements, you know, where they are. And we're able to lift heavier longer, if that makes any sense, because we don't do tons and tons and tons of volume on that core lift. We have a very specific workload that we're looking at, and then we move on. And I think that's what has helped keep us in the gym longer, lifting heavier longer. And again, and then it's very reactive. As soon as I see, you know, where someone is kind of slowing down, or you know, a lot of the guys that I train, you know, they're athletes, so they're not just lifting, they're football players or they're wrestlers or whatever the case may be, you know. And I've got guys that work out in the heat, you know, and this heat that we're seeing right now, you know, all over the place is just, it's just brutal, you know. So you have to factor those things in, and so I try to keep it, again, because our focus is trying to gain strength. And not to diminish what Rob said, because it's very true, there is a certain slingshot effect, and you take what those sessions give you, and you try to keep the ego in check, you know, or we're not always thinking linear, you know, that everything has to be progressive in a linear fashion. So I try to keep it to a minimum, you know, a maximum of a week, and then we'll move on. But that may mean that I do something, you know, altogether different for a couple of weeks, just to give them, you know, a mental break from, you know, what we've been doing, if that makes any sense. I'm trying to condense, you know, make a long story, you know, short, but that's how we do it, and that's what has made us be most effective.
Rob, what do you think? How long of a deloading period is adequate?
I completely agree with Wade here that a week is about the longest for most athletes. In truth, it's largely predicated on how long the athlete has been overreaching or perhaps even overtraining. And this brings up an interesting story that I just remembered. You know, I once met a guy in a gym who came up to me and says, you know, I hadn't made progress in years. And I said, okay. I said, what have you been doing? He says, well, I work out twice a day, every day.
Did he really say that?
Yeah. He said, I said, how long have you been doing that? He says, years.
Yeah.
Okay, now here's an example of a guy who has all the ambition in the world and a great work ethic, but let's face it, you know, the degree of overtraining and overreaching that he has generated, the size of the hole that he has dug into his recovery ability is going to necessitate, in my opinion, more than a week for him to, you know, replenish not just the muscle tissues, but the adrenals, you know, the central nervous system. He frankly told me, he says, yeah, I dread my workouts. I said, well, that should be a sign right there.
Yeah.
You know, if your mind is telling you, gosh, I don't want to go to the gym today, that's probably a good sign that you're due for a deload.
All right, real quick, and we only have a couple minutes. I'm going to go to Wade first. During the deloading period, do you eat different? Do you eat more calories? Do you eat less calories? Do you eat the same calories?
Me personally, I don't change very, very much. Now, for my athletes, especially, you know, the guys that are a little smaller, I'll tell them, this is the time where you really want to feed and refuel. You know, you've been out in the heat, you've been really training hard, you know, you've got all these things going on, refuel that body. And generally, if they'll get those extra calories in, they come back the following week ready to get after it. I've done this long enough, I can kind of pull back the throttle in the gym, I'll know if something doesn't feel right, you know, and so, you know, I'm good. I generally know right away, and I try really hard to keep my ego in check, and, you know, I don't feel like I've got as much to prove as some of these younger guys, so I don't have to, you know, rely on that nearly as much as they do. But if they're really tired or, you know, they're showing fatigue, I'll tell them, feed that body, you know, let's overcome this fatigue and, you know, find ways to get some extra rest and recover. But absolutely, I always prescribe eating more during that time to kind of get over the hump, so the following week they're ready to rip.
What about you, Rob? What do you think? Do you eat more?
No, I agree with Wade. You know, I don't change my diet during a deload period. It's only a week at the most. And let's think about this too. Once you start changing more than one variable, you know, you start to screw with things a little bit. And if when you come back, you know, results aren't favorable, you're not stronger, then now you've got a couple different, you've got to reverse engineer it. And it's tougher to reverse engineer if you're changing more than one variable. You know, I've heard guys say, well, I'm not working out as hard, so I'm not going to eat as much. Well, they show up on PR day and the PR is not there. You can't tell me that under-eating possibly had something big to do with that.
Yeah. I mean, I would be with Wade. I have to believe that if I was going to deload, I would probably increase to some degree my intake to kind of...
Well, I try to kind of reiterate what I try to do is go, hey, you know, if you're, you know, because sometimes the overtraining is indicative of under eating. You know, immediately I'll start asking questions. How much water have you been drinking in the past few days? Because we all get busy or something comes up and stuff like staying hydrated and getting enough food in, you know, kind of falls by the wayside. And, you know, that's just such a big aspect of training, especially over the long haul. And so I try to go, hey, why don't you add a half a cup of pasta or something, you know, to your meals for the next 2 or 3 days. Let's find a way to get a few more calories. Let's not go crazy, you know, because Rob's right. Once you start, it's just like a car, you know, once you start tinkering with it, especially something high performance, you start twisting bolts and stuff like that, reverse engineering is damn near impossible.
All right. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we got a couple questions from listeners. You're listening to the roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy. We'll be right back.
Have your cake and eat it. Take your place. and history, and pray we don't repeat it. Call it fate, call it back, call it off, don't call me later.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre-, intra-, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine, and no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
Summer is here. You need help quick. You need the 21-Day Beachbody Challenge from 21dayfit.com. Want muscle? Want chiseled abs? Want to feel great about your body? Then go to 21dayfit.com today and get the results you want in 21 days. From body of work icon Sean Phillips to you, this results-driven 21-minute program for 21 days gives you foolproof success, and it's free. Go to 21dayfit.com and start today, and your abs are on the way. That's the number 21dayfit.com, and download the Summer Supercharger immediately.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age 4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
You may not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping too. Each 30 gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors: cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Showtime.
Later in the show, Gordon Waddell will be on, talking about the problems with commercial fitness today. Right now you're listening to the roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy with Coach Wade Johnson and Rob Regish, author of The Blueprint. Okay, this first question comes from Tim. Okay, I'm going to take a shot at this, Tim, and I apologize for butchering your name, but it looks like Weinzierl, W-E-I-N-Z-I-R-L, Weinzierl. How would you pronounce that? Anybody?
You did a great job, Carl.
Okay, thank you, thank you. All right. Tim says, I've been deadlifting unbelted for 2 years, and I have worked up to a personal best of 400 times 5 reps. That's great. I've been in the 390s and 400s times 5 range for many months now and may be at an impasse. Interesting question for this show. I use a 4-inch leather belt for squatting, and it works well and provides a great deal of support that is noticeably absent on the unbelted deadlift. I've tried using my squat belt for deadlifts, but I'm unable to get it in the proper starting position, even when manipulating belt position around my torso, i.e. lower in the front, higher in the back. Using the belt results in a pull with a slightly rounded and ladder fatigued back. I'm looking for recommendations concerning a belt to use on the deadlift. I see at least two possibilities. One could be try a 3-inch version of the leather belt used for squatting. The risk there is I really don't know that this will solve the problem, though I suspect it will. Number two, a 4-inch fabric belt would be cheaper, perhaps by a factor of 2, but I'm not sure how effective such a belt would be. Carl, I would appreciate it if you could pose this question to Rob and Wade. I need a solution to use in training as well as in my first powerlifting competition later this year. Thanks, Tim. This is PS. I'm doing starting strength and realize that frequent squatting may be taking away from my deadlift. I may also be trying to pull way too heavy or with too much frequency. I'm going to modify the training so that I pull one heavy set of 5 every 2 weeks on a light squat day. So, and that kind of leads into what we were talking about before about deloading. But what do you think about belts, Wade? I've actually done a show 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago, with Mike Miller talking about the belt and how to properly use it. What do you think about his question?
Well, first and foremost, what he's going to have to find out is each checked with each federation's rules. There, some of them will regulate not only the width of the belt, but what it can be made out of, so on and so forth. So before he makes any kind of additional purchase, he's going to want to make sure that it aligns with whatever federation he's choosing to compete in, what their rules call for. I think with this question, though, is it may not be the belt issue. I honestly think this is more a training issue based on the fact that I think that based on what he's saying, he's pulling too heavy too often, especially in the rep range, and there's no change in stimulus. He's always shooting for this PR level in the 5 rep range, and it sounds like he's doing this also while he's squatting. And so definitely squatting is going to have a detriment on that deadlift based on when he's doing it in the training session. So I would prescribe based on what little bit I know is separating the sessions, and if he's pulling beltless, that it may not be the belt that is the issue. It could be a core strength issue with the abdominals. And not seeing video, and I always encourage, if you're going to send a question in, don't hesitate, if you want us to answer the question, to send video, because I'd love to see the form, because that may be indicative, of another issue. But my guess is, based on what he's saying, that I don't think it's as much a belt issue as it could be a training protocol issue.
What do you think, Rob?
Yeah, I was going to echo the same thing that Wade just said. You know, you've heard me address deadlift questions on the show before, and in particular, how to rotate 3 different workouts, a heavy workout, a workout for your sticking point, and a lighter speed workout to avoid adaptation from always working in that 5 rep range. Now, having said that, with respect to, the belt versus no belt, the reason why deadlifting with a belt, you can use more weight is simply because the belt gives your abs something to push against. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I see those leather belts in gyms and guys using them, and I cringe because the vast majority are tapered thin in the front, and in the back they're a lot thicker. Now it's been a long time since I've used a belt, but back in the day, I very much favored the lever belt, which was a uniform thickness all the way around, and I never had that thing snap on me during a heavy lift. I think the relevant point here being is, Wade and I are both in agreement that the training stimulus does need to change. A focus on core strength and heavy, heavy ab work, and you've heard me say that before, is only going to benefit him. And then, if you decide to add in a belt, I would stay away from those leather belts that are tapered in the front and opt for a belt that is uniformly thick all the way around, such that it gives your abs something to push against, which is really where why you're able to lift more weight wearing one of those belts.
This is a really important point. What I got from the show that I did with Mike Miller all those years ago about the belt is most people don't use their belt right. Most people try to cinch the belt so tight that they cannot engage the abdominal muscles any longer. And in fact, when you look at some powerlifters, the belt almost looks like it's loose until they get ready to lift. Then they blow their belly out against it. Now, am I wrong about that, Wade?
No. That's, I'm such a different animal. So I kind of go against the grain in so many different ways. I'm going to take a little bit of detour. And just to give you a for instance, my biggest deadlift, and it's well documented that deadlift is my trouble lift. My biggest deadlift was at Raw with no supportive gear was 672, and I did that beltless. And so I think my biggest concern with using a belt, and again, I know I'm taking a departure from what your question was, is people tend to use it as a crutch. And as soon as they run into trouble, we'll tighten that belt up tighter,
right,
as opposed to learning how to use, using that belt as a tool. Because it's not just to help you save that lower back. It's just like people saying, I wear a bench shirt because it, protects my shoulder. Well, that's BS. You put the bench shirt on because you want to lift more weight. I mean, it does. It helps my shoulders stay intact. But at the end of the day, if it wasn't helping me lift any more weight, I'm not putting the thing on. It's too much of a pain in the ass. But the same thing with the belt. And what you're seeing, if anyone is following my training right now, I'm pulling conventional, where the last 3 or 4 years I've competed using sumo. And so the idea is I'm going to pull and develop, overcome some what I think are weaknesses and so on and so forth. But I'm pulling my trap bar pulling, my competition pulling, and even the pulling that I've been doing that Rob has prescribed, the Romanians, the only equipment that I'm using on those lifts is straps, and that's just so I don't destroy my thumbs because I pull with a hook grip. So I think it's one of those things, understand what the belt is and what the tool is. And like Rob said, when you can push against the abs against that belt, it is going to help you, it's going to strengthen that core, and it's going to help you, push more weight or pull more weight. So, again, that's kind of a departure from your question.
Okay, but and we really need to go to this next question, because when we come back, I want to catch up on your training. Hi, Carl. Love Supima Radio, especially roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy, and the Blueprint Power Hour. I'd like to thank you, Wade and Rob, for spending the time to disseminate valuable information to Superhuman Radio audience. A couple of our roundtable discussion questions for Rob and Wade. One, do you have a favorite periodic loading pattern for strength gain? I know what Coach Johnson's is. It's the reactive wave method. So, what about you, Rob?
Yeah, that's an easy one. My favorite there by far is something that we use in the Blueprint called German Loading Pattern 1. And it is but 6 workouts, but it will put no less than 5% on a major barbell lift. And in practical terms, what that means is the guy that's stuck at a 300-pound bench in 6 short workouts is putting up 315.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. Yeah, that really is.
So, and it really opens people's eyes as to the power of these loading patterns. And what's interesting about the discussion we're having today is it accomplishes that by, again, I told you there were 6 workouts. Workout number 5 is the deload.
Ha! Here we go, right? That's great.
And it is the absolute key to the program. And I tell all my guys before they go in there, it's usually 6 work sets for each workout. I said, make sure when you go in for workout number 5, you only perform 5 sets, not 6. I'll list out the sets for them, set 1, set 2, set 3, set 4, set 5. And then I'll say, where set 6 usually appears, I put in big bold letters and an exclamation point.
Go home.
None.
Yeah.
Go home. because that is again fatigue masks fitness.
Okay. Let me because we're really low on time here, Coach Johnson. Sure. Can people buy the Reactive Wave training program?
You can contact me, and I will write a program. And this is something. This kind of we'll have to talk about it at another time. This is something that I'm going to be picking Rob's brain, and because I've got some new training partners that go, you really need to put this in a book. And I'm like, that is not. I can write great articles. I can take 500 to 2,000 words and convey a thought. But to think that I need to commit all this to paper, because it requires someone with Rob's brain to go, this is what Wade is trying to say, you know, when I'm screaming at somebody. And so, yes, ultimately the answer is yes, you can. The best thing to do is to contact me, and we can discuss it from there. But there is an upcoming project that we're going to commit this to paper, you know, so you can actually see the science of it versus just the art.
Okay, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we will talk about Coach Johnson's training and where it is right now. You're listening to the Roundtable Discussion on Strength and Hypertrophy. We shall return.
Yeah! Throw your hands in the air right now, man.
That's Professor Axel.
Don't crack the dawn.
Professor Axel.
Squad. Set my feet don't.
You may not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now, get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping, too. Each 30-gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors. Cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R. Today,
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Due to popular demand, LG Sciences has brought back the Trifecta Pack and made the most hardcore muscle-building, strength-gaining stack of anabolic pro-hormones even better. Even better. Now it includes Methyl-1D plus 5-alpha hydroxy for greater strength gains and aggression. MMV 3 Master Draw reborn now with epiandrostane and round it all off with Formadrol with nettle extract for improved PCT. And all of this in a new highly bioavailable liquid delivery system that outperforms pills by up to 250%. But hurry, this is a limited time offer. Go to superhumanradio.com to learn more about LG Science's new Trifecta Pack today. Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest Protein Bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest Bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest Bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
An aromatase inhibitor shown to be stronger than ATD and 6-oxo and a SERM to rival tamoxifen. Finally, muscle-building testosterone levels. Finally, Formax, old-school testosterone
testosterone boosters never did quite work that well because they fell short of critical levels of testosterone needed to build muscle. They only controlled estrogen. That's like flooring a gas pedal connected to a four-cylinder engine. No matter how hard you push, the engine isn't going to run any faster. Hormex changes that by signaling each level of testosterone production, replacing your old four-cylinder with a supercharged V12. Get Hormex. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Hormex banner ad today.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I really screwed up on that last question. First of all, the question was submitted from Christian Austin, first of all. And there was a part two to the question. We got to answer it really, really quickly. He says, what do you think about using a loading pattern to achieve a one rep maximum while cutting body fat? Would this type of training be effective during a cut? Or should it only be utilized during a mass gain or maintenance phase? Real fast, should you be cutting while you're trying to hit a one rep max, Coach Johnson?
No, I don't think so. I think it's a special athlete that can pull that off, but I really think if strength is what you're focused on, then that's got to be your focal point. You try to start cutting body fat and change your eating patterns, it is going to affect strength. And understand, you know, strength is a very, very mean and selfish mistress. It wants all of your attention all of the time. So for me personally, I would say no.
What do you say, Rob?
Couldn't agree more with Wade. The bench in particular is more susceptible to, you know, strength loss when you're dieting. Sometimes you can do that. Sometimes you can do it with the squat and deadlift, but, you know, the bench, it's almost a death sentence. I would not do it.
Okay, so avoid getting stapled to the bench, please, Christian, and don't diet while you're doing this. And, of course, our two questions submitted will receive House of Pain T-shirts. You can receive a House of Pain T-shirt yourself by submitting a question to the roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy by sending it to onair@superhumanradio.com. And if you're going to send a question about training, try to include a video so that these two talented coaches can review it and give you a really good answer, one that will be meaningful in your training. And ladies out there, I want questions from ladies. I want to know the women are trying to get stronger too. I've said it 1,000 times. Women outlive men. The reason women are put into institutions is because they lose the ability to be ambulatory. If you can't get out of the chair, your kids are going to go, Mom, you got to go into the nursing home now. So you better learn how to squat, because that's the first step of keeping to get out of the chair. Okay. Now let's catch up with Coach Wade Johnson. Did I get like a little Italian accent there for a second? Hey, what's the matter, you? You know you got a squad. Anyway, Coach Johnson, so what's going on with your training?
Things are going well. The biggest issue that I will tell everyone out there, your biggest and most important asset in the gym when you're trying to train for competition or gain strength are your training partners. So if you have committed to a group of guys, show up on time and be ready to work. And in my case, what most of my guys are missing for is because of work and life. And that's just something, you know, we can make all the plans in the world and life happens. But I'm telling you, if you're a training partner, be committed, because not only when you're not there does it affect your training, it affects your training partners. But enough of that. Numbers are going well. I had a little bit of fatigue this week. I don't know if you saw any of the videos.
I've been looking at them. Yeah.
I'm doing the Olympic lifting twice a week, and I understand that that's a detriment to the power lifting as I go. But you know, I'm committed to, you know, one is having a good time with this, and that all the goals that I have, not just with powerlifting, but with some other of the strength sports, you know, that I stay involved and stay in practice. So Saturday I went over to one of my training partners and we did an Atlas stone session. It was one of those things where we kept going and kept going and kept going. And, you know, so it actually took, you know, quite a bit of time to recover.
When you lifted that 250-pound stone and put it on the wooden thing and you walked away from it, you looked exhausted when you walked away from it.
Well, let me.
I mean, you look like a little kid who just found out his dog died. You really did. You're like, you had your head down, and you were just like walk like that damn stone.
Oh, I was. Well, we weren't using any tacky with the stones. We were working on technique, and I hadn't I hadn't picked up a stone, and I can't even tell you when. And so the challenge of just doing it and then not using any tacky, you know, you could see the results. But also, now remember, I'm still somewhat of a newlywed. I won't go into the details
yes,
of that.
Yes, yes, we get it.
You know, so that's Saturday morning, and then she and I go and do gym cardio, and then I do my auxiliary workout, and then I grab a Scooby snack, and then I'm practicing the snatch, which I think I posted video of that. And then we clean up, and off we go to Josh and Melissa's house, and we do stones until later that night. So, you know, it made for a long and very taxing day, but I came into the gym Monday and felt good. I didn't get in a shirt, and I just used moderate weight, but felt did sets of six with 365 raw, felt really good, was really strong, and the next day squatted. I'm still just using the suit, 795, felt comfortable. If you saw the videos, you saw a couple of spots where I was having to work hard, and that's just, the first rep felt great, the second rep I'd have to work, and that's just fatigue from the weekend. But this morning it was a little bit abbreviated because we were traveling today, but I did 500 for 8 in a close grip decline, went real fast, real smooth. And then last week with the deadlift, again, I posted some videos. I'm at the end of the first part of my deadlifting phase where we'll start adding some accommodating resistance in the next couple of weeks. But I was doing the short rest intervals and pulling for speed, and I think I ended up with 545. I did like three singles, 90-second rest intervals, and then did the Rob's Romanians. I did 515 for six, and
wow.
You know, I felt like with the based on how now it always looks different on video than it feels while I'm doing it. But I'm going to keep doing the Romanians, and I'm going to keep being progressive for a little while longer. I've got it in my head now that I want to try to do some reps with 600 pounds, and that went relatively well. So this week will be a rest week. I won't even be pulling. I won't even be in the gym. Next week we'll do a little bit of a test, and again I'll be gearless and beltless, and we'll see if I can't go over 600 pounds, you know, from the floor.
That's
and then
great.
We'll start making adjustments. So everything, the Olympic lifting is improving. I'm getting coaching there. I'm actually leaning on Josh and Melissa Garrett Kylo. Melissa Garrett has been a longtime training partner of mine that I coached, but she also was, I guess it was last year, and I could be wrong on my timing, but she won Strong Woman Nationals along with being the strongest unlimited female power lifter. And so that's, I'm relying on them for coaching. So after I do this Olympic lifting meet and do this powerlifting meet, then I'm going to try to qualify for Masters Nationals in strongman and see
what
happens
awesome.
There.
That's really awesome.
It's ridiculous, but I'm having a lot of fun, and it's putting my body to the test, and you know, I realize that I'm not, you know, 27 or 37, but you know that I'm going to be 47, but I'm having a good time. Everything feels good. There's some aches and pains, but that kind of comes with the territory.
Yeah.
And, you know, I keep picking brains. Rob's one of them. I mean, he and I talk quite a bit. I'm using the Mass Pro Synthogen. And I'd like to add real quick, I am using some of the patches from AgeForce. Steve and I have been exchanging some messages, and I've had some good results with that. So I'm really excited about the process of of using that product and working with that company.
That's excellent. That's excellent. We've come to the end of the interview. It always goes fast. I think we had really, really good cohesive discussions today that kind of led into each other, especially with some of the questions posed by the listeners. Two listeners will get T-shirts from House of Pain. Thank you so much for making time to come on the show today. I hope that you and Julia have a wonderful celebration for her birthday this weekend, Coach Johnson. And
Thanks, of course,
Rob Regish, thank you for being on the show today. You guys can
great to be back with you guys.
Go, and of course, please plug your websites again, Coach Johnson.
weightliftingdiscussion.com for the training forum, johnsonstrengthgroup.com. I've got Facebook pages, my personal page and Johnson Strength Facebook page. You can email me at supersquat800@yahoo.com and johnsonstrength@yahoo.com.
There you go. And, of course, Rob Regish, if you want to learn more about Rob Regish's blueprint, go to superhumanradio.com and look for the blueprint banner ad. And you'll also see a banner ad there for Mass Pro Synthogen, which is Rob's supplement that increases recovery. So you get into the gym and you train harder and harder, faster and faster. And who knows, maybe you don't need deloading when you take Mass Pro Synthogen. There you go. All right, listen, guys, thanks for being on the show today.
Thanks,
guys.
Okay. All right, so when we come back, we're going to have Gordon Waddell on, and we're going to discuss something that really is important to this audience, and that is commercial fitness. What the heck is going on with commercial fitness? Sometimes I hear some of the stuff that's being told to people. I just want to bang my head against the wall. So we're going to be talking about that with Gordon Waddell when we come back. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Want hardcore legal gear? Check out MrSups.com. MrSups.com carries only the best pro hormones, raw powders, and post-cycle products around. MrSups.com can deliver the goods, and no one beats MrSups.com on hardcore, barely legal pro hormones, because MrSups.com is the source. You get wholesale prices by cutting out the middleman. Don't waste your hard-earned money. Go to MrSups.com today and compare for yourself. You won't be disappointed. MrSups.com. That's MrSups.com. Cutting edge products at wholesale prices. Due to popular demand, LG Sciences has brought back the Trifecta Pack and made the most hardcore muscle-building, strength-gaining stack of anabolic pro-hormones even better. Even better. Now it includes Methyl-1D plus 5-alpha hydroxy for greater strength gains and aggression. MMV 3 Master Draw, reborn now with epiandrostain, and round it all off with Formadrol with nettle extract for improved PCT. And all of this in a new highly bioavailable liquid delivery system that outperforms pills by up to 250%. But hurry, this is a limited-time offer. Go to superhumanradio.com to learn more about LG Science's new Trifecta Pack today.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
To show our appreciation for your support.
Okay, welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Like everything in this world, an emerging technology, some new food, anything, as soon as people realize that there's money to be made, they destroy it through the commercialization process. My guest today is Gordon Waddell. How you doing, Gordon?
Hey, Carl. How's it going? Great to be here.
Great, great. And Gordon, before we get into the interview, Gordon, give people a little bit of background on who you are and how you found your way into physical culture.
Okay. I'll try to make a very long story pretty short. I really just kind of fell into it, but more or less was placed into it. I was born with a heart defect, which basically led to open heart surgery, which basically left me to the, if I didn't basically keep training, keep myself fit, keep things, there always is a possibility of problems later on down the line. From there, when I was in school, like everyone was a little bit lost, didn't know what I wanted to do. Some friends had mentioned physical therapy. I thought that might be something, and I started taking the prerequisites, and I decided, you know, I really like the exercise end of it. I pursued a degree in exercise physiology, a master's degree in exercise science, and then really started getting into the industry while I was seeing what else I was going to do. And from there, it's just school doesn't teach you everything. You know, academia is great, but you learn science there. You learn theory. You don't learn hands-on application. So for that, I just turned to hopefully what I thought were some of the better organizations within the commercial fitness industry to go through some of the certifications. I did things through the National Strength and Conditioning Association, the National Academy of Sports Medicine, Czech Institute. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice a bit today.
Sure.
But anyway, you know, all these things, some of your bigger, well-known ones where they actually teach you how to apply some of that knowledge.
Yeah, where you actually have to sit for a test and you don't do it on the internet while you're reading the book,
right,
and munching on a protein bar. So, yeah, no, it makes
absolutely
perfect sense.
I try to always choose the ones where they had hands-on training. Like some of the bigger ones, you actually have to go for several days and they do hands-on training. And then there's a take-home written exam, which is scored based also on what you did during the practical training. So it's one of those things just to really try to combine the academia with some really good hands-on skills. And one thing led to another. While I was in graduate school, the position as a gym where I was working part-time opened up to be fitness director, and I took it and went with it for a number of years, and it taught me a lot. Taught me a lot about the industry, good and bad. Also taught me that I didn't want to be in commercial fitness the rest of my life. And if you really look at the people that are making the biggest impact, say, in fitness today, have either their own facilities, their own business, their own practice, or doing things the way they feel is right. I mean, they're not part of a chain. I mean, a lot of your previous guests were like that. Mike Boyle, Charles Poliquin, Alvin Cosgrove, all these great people, they're not doing things the way the commercial industry does. Commercial industry is just, it's commercial.
You know what's really funny, and it's interesting you brought this up. I get emails all the time from people saying, I want to get in to the nutrition side of this. You know, what do I do? Or I want to become a trainer. What do I do? And usually they say, because I don't want to continue to perpetuate the wrong message. I want to perpetuate the right message. But the problem with that is, in order to become certified, you have to learn the wrong message first. And I always email people back, unfortunately, there's a period of time you're going to have to sleep with the enemy. You're going to have to go into the annals of dietary sciences. You're going to have to nod your head when they say carbohydrates are good, grains are good, the cereal-based diet is good. You have to nod your head and say yes. And once you get your certification and you get out, then you empty your head of all that nonsense and you do what you know works and you save lives. Unfortunately, you've got to sleep with the enemy first, because they, until we have, I say we, euphemistically, you know, until we have this organization that certifies people for real diets, ancestral diets, you know, I got to say something, and this is totally unrehearsed. I got a letter from a guy who's that is a wonderful listener of the show. He wrote a brilliant article, and in the article, he referred to another internet nutrition guru, and who refers and says, you know, well, all you got to do is eat real food. If you just focus on eating real food, everything is great. And that is nonsense. And I'll tell you why that's nonsense. Suggesting that people eat real food in order to avoid disease is just like the FDA's approval of putting the word natural on something to imply that it's good for you, when in fact there's wood in it, pieces of bugs in it, there's agents like carrageenan, which are linked to cancers just because they come from natural sources, they're in it. So this notion of just eating real food is really a very dangerous one, because corn would fall under that heading, and corn is dangerous.
Oh,
grain is real food. Grain is dangerous. So it's not enough. But you have to sleep with the enemy first. You've got to get certified. And then you go out and you turn the world on its ear with the truth. Now, do you think that's a true statement?
I think it's definitely true. The thing is, as long as you go and learn the truth, the commercial fitness industry is not teaching the truth.
No.
They are just basically teach. You are hired, basically. When I was fitness director, I asked my superiors, how do you want me to recruit for the staff? Oh, do you want me to put an ad in the local papers? Do you want me to do things on the internet? What should I say? Should I hold out for college degrees and high-level certifications? I was told no. I was given a form letter of what to put, and it was basically saying unlimited potential, unlimited earning, you know, apply. And that was it. If they didn't have a certification, but they looked the part, you can teach them what they need to know.
Yeah. Isn't that nice?
Now it's changed a little bit. You have to sometimes have a certification, but it was very lax then, and it still lax. I mean, to this day, you could get certified within 24 hours on the internet, as long as you have a credit card. I attended a lecture once by a gentleman named Phil Kaplan, who's in the industry.
I remember him.
Marketing.
I know he is. Yeah.
Almost all his lectures, and Phil showed us that Angel Kaplan was now certified in the state of Florida as a personal trainer. Problem is, Angel was his cat.
Listen, I know other people. Elisa just messaged me from the other room. She said, all food is not created equal. That's true. I know other people that do that. I know other people that their certifications are questionable. And then they certify other people. It's almost laughable.
Laughable. It's really laughable.
So let's do this. We have to take a quick break.
Sure.
When we come back, I want you to start out listing, starting with the worst offenders, the biggest problems in commercial fitness, and we'll go down the list. How's that sound?
Okay, I'll do my best.
Okay, so we're talking with Gordon Waddell. We're talking with Gordon Waddell. We're going to be talking about what's wrong with commercial fitness today. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hardcore legal gear? Check out MrSupps.com. MrSupps.com carries only the best pro hormones, raw powders, and post-cycle products around. MrSupps.com can deliver the goods, and no one beats MrSupps.com on hardcore, barely legal pro hormones, because MrSupps.com is the source. You get wholesale prices by cutting out the middleman. Don't waste your hard-earned money. Go to MrSupps.com today and compare for yourself. You won't be disappointed. MrSupps.com. That's MrSupps.com. Cutting-edge products at wholesale prices.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
An aromatase inhibitor shown to be stronger than ATD and 6-oxo and a SERM to rival tamoxifen. Finally, muscle-building testosterone levels. Finally, Formax. Old-school testosterone boosters never did quite work that well because they fell short of critical levels of testosterone needed to build muscle. They only controlled estrogen. That's like flooring a gas pedal connected to a 4-cylinder engine. No matter how hard you push, the engine isn't going to run any faster. Formax changes that by signaling each level of testosterone production, replacing
replacing your old four-cylinder with a supercharged V12. Get Formex. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Formex banner ad today. Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else? AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with Gordon Waddell, and the topic has turned to the problem with commercial fitness. Fitness for the masses. All right, so what's the first offense? What do you think, Gordon?
Well, I'd say the first offense is there's no real standardization of personal training. I'm just going to kind of leave it at the personal training because there are other certifications, say for nutrition, group exercise. We'll just stick to the personal. Like, let's put it this way. There is no industry really standard. There's over 400 certifications out there. There are only about 5 might require a college degree and maybe another 5 or 6 actually have hands-on training. The rest are, like you said, multiple guest tests, most on the internet. So one person can be an outstanding trainer, and the other person can be pretty lax in their knowledge and skills, yet they're both certified as a trainer. And if you don't know what the certifications mean and who the certification bodies are, and you walk into a commercial gym, oh, is he certified? Is she certified? Oh, absolutely. All our trainers are certified. Great.
Well, that's very much like the medical orthodoxy when you think about it, right? You get 2 doctors. They could go to the same university, attend all the same classes, and you get a different quality of care. Then on the other hand, you can get 1 doctor who's a neurologist who went to school in, you know, some third world country because that's all he could afford. And he's competing with a doctor who trained at Harvard. And so you say, gee, the standards of learning are different. So really, it comes down to caveat emptor. Let the buyer beware.
What I would tell people is this. When you're looking to find a trainer, use full scrutiny that you would use to find a surgeon for your child. Because this trainer, he or she, if they're doing their job correctly over how long they're with you, you're going to be loading their spine, you're going to be loading their joints. What doctors give prescriptions, you know, chiropractors give adjustments, it's only your trainer and your strength coaches that put load on the spine and the joints. And if they don't understand what that load's going to do, during the workout, after the workout, several months down the line, they can really hurt you. And most people just don't know. They just figure, okay, they're certified. That's why I said it doesn't mean nothing. It doesn't really mean much in today's industry unless you know what the certifications mean. I tell people you have to sit down, talk to them. Talk to people. Ask for referrals. Ask for, same way you would choose a doctor. Get referrals. see who the patients were, see who they worked with, what kind of results did they get. And a lot of people just, you know, unfortunately, they put their faith in the gym. Well, that person wouldn't be hired if they weren't any good. Well, I can give you some real nightmare stories one day about some of the knuckleheads I was forced to hire.
Well, let me ask you a question as it pertains to the average commercial gym environment. If the average person walks into a commercial gym, and this is not a person of physical culture background, this is a person who's looking to start training, right? Do the gyms and their personal trainer staffs, do they run this person through some sort of assessment process to determine what their physical quotient is, how strong they are, what their cardiovascular training is like, and so on? Or do they just start, come in Monday morning and we're going to give you a program. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do this circuit on Monday, this one on Wednesday, that one on Friday.
Maybe. All depends on the gym. All depends on the trainer. I personally believe, I was taught, if you're not assessing, you're guessing. And what are you guessing with? That person's health and safety. But I would say the majority of the gyms don't, because one, I can think of a handful of certifications that actually teach you how to assess people, and it's very few. Two, it takes time, and the gym is such a sales atmosphere. If I'm assessing you, I might be losing the sale of you for training when I start pointing out all the problems we find.
Yeah.
They want the person motivated, moving, don't worry about it. I'll give you a true story. Here's exactly what a professional consultant who is being paid over $1,000 a day to come to the gym while I was working, to work with the sales staff, to work with the training staff. He told me that I should focus on three things when I work with people and teach my staff this. If I was to meet you, Carl, as a new member, and I'm doing your introductory workout, I am supposed to make sure that you have fun. You learn something new, and you leave feeling great. Do not be overly detailed. Do not be overly scientific. Have fun, learn something new, and make sure you emphasize leave feeling great. That's what a professional consultant told me that I was to teach my staff.
So it has nothing to do with fitness and the effects of fitness on health. It has to do with making that person feel like their investment in that gym membership and that personal trainer was fun.
Absolutely.
Hmm. So why not just sit down? Why not just sit down and play pinochle with them then?
Yeah. Well, I tell you, the assessment's key. Best quote I've heard in a long time. James Syriac, MD: the treatment can only be as good as the examination. Well, in the fitness industry, that assessment is the examination. How good can your training program be without a proper assessment? I mean, when I personally assess somebody, we're looking at posture. We're looking at we do the functional movement screen. We're looking at individual joint ranges of motion. We're looking at definitely a detailed health and injury history, any special tests for previous injuries they've had. You name it, it takes about 90 minutes, 2 hours to get through an assessment properly. Most gyms don't want you investing that much time. They get the person moving, get them going, get them feeling good, and they're not so worth worrying because they're not teaching what I would consider real training. What I love about Superhuman Radio, your guests do real training. There's no real, we say, fake exercise. Not a lot of machine-based circuits, not a lot of seat exercise. They're lifting weights. They're using body weight. They're moving. They're getting their heart rate. They're building muscle. They're doing real training. In the commercial gym, day one, they teach you to throw people on, you know, the circuits and the seated equipment. I got news for you. Unless you're going to be a competitive bodybuilder, you're just looking to shape your body for a contest, not a fan of seated machine-based exercise. Doesn't work and actually ruins the body and makes you worse.
So obviously part of the reason why these gyms focus on those machines is because they have a major investment. They're paying a lease payment every single month for that equipment, so they want to use it, right?
Oh, absolutely. But here's the other thing. The people, you know, the majority of your gym membership is not going to hire a personal trainer unless it's a small personal training studio that only does training. The majority of gym members want to come in and be able to do things on their own. Well, it takes a skilled trainer, a skilled coach to teach that lift weights properly. You may not want to pay for that.
Yeah.
Which is their loss. person should find.
You know, and that's always shocked me. And I got to tell you something. And I've talked about this before for years. I mean, every now and then I've invoked this knowledge that you have to pay somebody to teach you how to lift weights properly. Most people think that because they can grab a bar and press it, that they don't need anything else other than that. They can do it. I can go in and do a bench press. Very few people. I mean, you wouldn't walk out into the world and think you know karate unless you took karate lessons. You wouldn't jump out of a plane unless you had some parachuting lessons. But yet people walk into the gym every single day, sit on a machine, don't know if it's adjusted properly, or grab a barbell or a dumbbell and start swinging. And I've seen people in the gym. I got to tell you something. You want to do a funny video show? Every single gym has a handful of people, and quite often they're women. I'm sorry to say this. They do some of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen. There's one woman at my gym. She grabs a couple dumbbells, and I don't know what she's doing. She's flailing her hands, and then she kicks one leg back, and then kicks one leg forward and flails it. And I'm thinking to myself, why is she doing that? What is she working? Where did she see that? It doesn't make any sense.
Oh, absolutely. When I hit that obstacle, people, I ask them, do you cut your own hair? Do you your own taxes? Do you do your own dentistry? Would you do your own surgery? If the answer is no, why would you design your own training program unless you've been through, you know, courses and certifications and guns and learned how to do it? You can get hurt. You know, but that's why most gym owners figure the machines are easy. Their idea, oh, the machines won't hurt people. I got news for you. Machines probably hurt people more than the free weights, because the free weights move three-dimensionally with your body.
Right.
The machines, you're sitting down and locking yourself into a fixed plane that may or may not be good for your joints.
So do you feel that most commercial gyms don't train the big movements? They don't train the squat. They don't train the bench press. They don't train the deadlift. They stay away from those kind of movements because obviously they discourage, most of the big commercial gyms discourage people who know how to do those movements. Like, okay, a lot of gyms won't even let you deadlift anymore.
You got that right. I'll tell you right now. We started out, the gym where I became fitness director and stayed for 6 years, it started out with dumbbells from 5 to 150 pounds. We had a power rack. Guys came in, deadlifted, squatted, shrugged. Problem is, the gym was meant to be profitable. Profit meant in this area, the demographic of your average person was female client. Over 60% of the gym membership was female. Over 80% of the personal training clients were female. Your average female, we're talking late 40s through their late 60s. Those women were getting scared by the guys deadlifting and dropping weights, doing heavy shrugs in a power rack. So my first week on the job, I had to go around and get rid of a lot of these guys and offer them a refund on their membership.
How do you get rid of them? What do you say to them when you walk up to a guy who clearly is, and obviously just because he's built well doesn't mean he's a jerk. You walk up to a guy and you say, look, I got to ask you to leave the gym. We're going to give you a full refund, and here's why. What do you say?
I was very lucky that they've already been talked to multiple times by the previous director and then some of the other staff. And so they would said, look, we don't want to keep being hassled. Give us a refund. We'll go somewhere else. I got off very easy because Carl, I basically looked these guys in their belt buckle. Some of these guys were huge.
Right. Well, let me ask you a question. What does the previous management say? I've never had this happen yet. I've heard about it. So let's say a guy is deadlifting, right? And he's obviously grunting. Right. What is the logic? When you come over to a guy and say you're not allowed to deadlift in this gym, how does that conversation go?
Well, you never want to embarrass them, so we always take them to the side, at least if it was the first time, and say, hey, look, can I talk to you a second? I know you're working out hard, but we're getting some complaints about the noise. Can you try to be a little bit quieter? And if you're going to deadlift, you used to have really thick rubber mats. Can you please use the deadlift mats so you're not dropping the weight on the floor? Sometimes they'd listen, sometimes they wouldn't. Usually about the third time, we were taking to the front desk and revoking their membership. We always gave them like three chances. But it was a weed out process over the first year that they were there. And the word
so in
got
other
around
words, so in other words, working out is supposed to be a quiet endeavor. You're supposed to work out
profit.
And not make noise?
Yes, if profit is your goal. Remember, the goal. Wait,
So you know what? The physical culture group should start doing. We should start complaining about the other people, like the guy who spends 2 hours in the gym but only trains for 30 minutes and talks for an hour and a half. That he's distracting us. Can I go to management and say, this guy over here talks to everybody and it's really annoying. Could you ask him to stop? Would management go and talk to him about that?
Possibly. You know, I've had weird situations like that all the time. That's one of the reasons why I left, because that was it. People were not training. We were not. I was being, you know, going head to head with management all the time because of the assessments I was doing, because of the programs I was doing. Like, you're our head trainer. Why are you not putting people on the equipment? People are coming back and saying, you're saying not to use the machine. Absolutely. Because they want to improve, and this is the next biggest thing I would say with raw personal fitness, they want to improve their movement, their balance, their coordination. Well, as soon as you sit on your butt, all that turns off.
Right.
So that was the big thing, you know. When you think about it, the next biggest thing I'd say is they don't give you what your body needs.
Okay, let's do this. Hold the next biggest thing for a second, okay?
Absolutely.
Because we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick it up. We're talking with Gordon Waddell about what's wrong with commercial fitness. Gordon was an insider for a long time, and now he's on the outside looking back in during this interview. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Call it off. Don't call me later. Lay your head in your bed.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine. And no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
Summer is here. You need help quick. You need the 21-Day Beachbody Challenge from 21dayfit.com. Want muscle? Want chiseled abs? Want to feel great about your body? Then go to 21dayfit.com today and get the results you want in 21 days. From body of work icon Sean Phillips to you, this results-driven 21-minute program for 21 days gives you foolproof success, and it's free. Go to 21dayfit.com and start today, and your abs are on the way. That's the number 21dayfit.com, and download the Summer Supercharger immediately.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age 4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
You may not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping too. Each 30-gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors: cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back
to Superhuman Radio. The discussion is about commercial fitness and commercial gyms. Unfortunately, this is where the majority of the mainstream are indoctrinated and either fall in love with physical culture or are turned away from it by the ineptness of their training staff or the lack thereof. So anyway, we're talking with Gordon Waddell about this. So, Gordon, what is the next big thing on your list of problems?
Okay. Next biggest thing, first one is that there's like no standardization, like you said, you're training. The next thing is people are not, they're going there to move, and they're not being given movement. They're being basically thrown on the floor to do exercises, or, you know, worse, they're sitting on machines exercising. Basically, we need to move. I was taught basically to think of movement like a nutrient. When you've got movement, you can work on your balance, your coordination, as well as blood flow, you know, oxygen flow, energy flow, all these things. We have poor circulation, we get degenerative joints, they'll get digestive problems, breathing problems, reduced reaction time and reflexes, even a reduced brain function. Basically, you have overall reduced function if you don't move. And it's, again, the trainers, unfortunately, a lot of them don't know because they read, I'm not going to knock bodybuilding magazines, that's what people like, but in bodybuilding magazines, what do you see? People sitting on machines.
What kind of movement are you talking about?
All right, well, the simplest thing is we want to think about, I always go back to some of the stuff that I learned even in school. There's a great, I think that we call him there now, sports physiologist, Dr. Tudor Bompa. Dr. Bompa basically came up with 8 biomotor abilities. You want to think about it, bio means life, motor is movement. This is what you need to move. Your workout over the course of the week should stress balance, coordination, strength, speed, power, agility, flexibility, and endurance. Everyone needs all of that, but to a different degree, depending on who they are and what their goals are, but everybody needs all those 8 movements to some degree. And with that, you know, it's coming out now, it's getting better, some people are getting better. There are basically, I probably made more than you need to, but 10 movement patterns you have to stress during the week. Walking or gait, basically walking or sprinting, because jogging is kind of man-made and screws people up, but after your gait pattern, squatting, bending or a deadlift, lunging, we throw stepping in there just to go up five stairs, rotation, pushing and pulling, and your pushing and pulling are both vertical and horizontal. So if you take those 10 movement patterns and those 8 biomotor abilities, that's what we're designed to do. If you lump them together, they basically form what you call activities of daily living. And they're also the basis for all your sports movements. You can take most sports movements and break them down into those 10 movement patterns. And then you see, based on the sport, which are the biomotor abilities they need. They need more balance, more strength, more power. You know, obviously, like, a gymnast is going to need more flexibility than they're probably going to need, you know, endurance, because they're not an endurance athlete. But everybody needs those to some. But when you sit down on the machine, where's your balance? You start doing single-arm exercise and sitting on the machine. Where's the coordination to the body? We really went into the whole core idea, but you're not even activating your core muscles. Now, people are going to argue sitting on a ball and everything. I'm talking about your basic circuit training, bodybuilding machines. While they're wonderful, if you want to put on some mass and kind of sculpt yourself for bodybuilding, that's great. I always believe in that. If you train like a bodybuilder, you're going to move like a bodybuilder. I don't see too many bodybuilders out there running, jumping, sprinting, catching, throwing. If you think about it, what the sport of bodybuilding, they're lifting in the gym, they're dieting, and then standing on stage. When they're on stage, there's no jumping, running, throwing. It's standing. So you have to think about it. What is your goal? Who's the person you're working with? And, you know, if you're going to a gym, maybe you don't want to hire the guy or girl who's a bodybuilder to be your trainer, unless you want to be a bodybuilder. I mean, I don't work with any bodybuilders. I'm not against it, but it's just not what I do. My clientele is where to train it without a lot of money is they all want the high-profile client, the athlete, the model, the person. You're going to make most of your money dealing with the average person. And if you can help them and make them better, they are going to tell people about you. And I've been doing this for over 13 years, Carl, and I don't pay for any advertising. It's all word of mouth.
So do you think that people who are interested in getting indoctrinated into training, exercise, physical culture should avoid the large training facilities entirely, or should they find a personal trainer outside of the large facility? Because let's face it, those memberships are pretty cheap. You know, now you have facilities that are unmanned, completely unmanned. Fitness 24, 24-hour fitness,
sure.
Snap Fitness. They're $9.95. There's nobody there. You swipe in, you swipe out. There's some CCTV cameras there just to mitigate any liability. So if somebody falls or something happens to them. But it's just basically having your own workout room that people congregate in. And there's no trainers. There's nothing at all there. So where does somebody get indoctrinated then? Should they go avoid the big places, the Bally's Fitness, and look for the little boutique trainer?
I would personally say, for the most part, yes. And that's what comes back to the whole thing we said in the beginning. Doing your research, choosing that trainer like you choose a surgeon, because you got to sit down and talk with them, ask for the references, ask for referrals. You know, when I first meet with people, I will do a consultation for free. That consultation has taken me anywhere from 30 minutes to 2 hours, because I want that person to feel comfortable with me, with the facility that I use, my style of training. I want to answer all their questions before they ever think about giving me any money. I want them to know exactly what's expected of them, what I can do for them, what I can't do for them, and, you know, and really sit down, and I leave it up to them. That's what you have to do, the research, just like you're going to choose a doctor, a dentist, hairstylist, a lawyer. They're a professional. You know, that's the thing. People are not treating trainers as professionals. They're treating them as, you know, the person that's cleaning up the gym, the person that's going to spot you. They're really not going there. I mean, now, if someone knows how to train, a 24-hour place where you go on their own, that's great. You know, if someone's been an athlete all their life, they've had good coaches, and you know how to train, they probably don't need help. But the average person is falling apart today, at least in the beginning. They need someone, you know, to help them out.
Yeah.
Because if not, they're going to, you know, wind up hurting them. That's why, it comes to the third biggest thing is most people going to the gym today are going there to avoid the doctor, to avoid physical therapy, and they're going there with pain. I will tell you right now, most of your biggest training certification bodies say right in their manuals, trainers are not equipped to deal with people in pain. When your tests on some of the tests tell you, when you encounter the person in pain, if it lasts for more than one session, refer them out to the doctor or physical therapist. But people are going there, and the trainers don't want to lose the sale because they have big quotas now. I had to fire most of my senior training staff at the end because they couldn't meet their sales quotas for training.
Wow.
And regardless if they're a good trainer, a good person, bad person, they weren't meeting their quotas. And people are coming in now, and they're trying to avoid that surgery. They're trying to avoid doctor visits. They're thinking, ooh, I don't want to pay all that money for the physical therapy copay. It's $3 copay, gym membership's $9.99 a month, just like you were saying. But the people in the gym, unless they've had special training, are not equipped to deal with pain. It says that in most of the manuals, refer them out.
What about, you know what, okay, we got to take a break. I'm getting a hand wave there. We have to take a quick commercial break.
Okay.
When we come back, I have a couple questions for you. I want to talk about some things that go on in the gym. And then also, I know you have some stories you want to share that are related to the Muscle Saves Lives series. We're talking with Gordon Waddell. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You may not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now, get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping, too. Each 30-gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors. Cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R.
today.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Due to popular demand, LG Sciences has brought back the Trifecta Pack and made the most hardcore muscle-building, strength-gaining stack of anabolic pro-hormones even better. Even better. Now it includes Methyl-1D plus 5-alpha hydroxy for greater strength gains and aggression. MMV 3 Master Draw reborn now with epiandrostane and round it all off with Formadrol with nettle extract for improved PCT. And all of this in a new highly bioavailable liquid delivery system that outperforms pills by up to 250%. But hurry, this is a limited time offer. Go to superhumanradio.com to learn more about LG Science's new Trifecta Pack today. Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest Protein Bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest Bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest Bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
An aromatase inhibitor shown to be stronger than ATD and 6-oxo and a SERM to rival tamoxifen. Finally, muscle-building testosterone levels. Finally, Formax. Old-school testosterone boosters never did quite work that well because they fell short of critical levels of testosterone needed to build muscle. They only controlled estrogen. That's like flooring a gas pedal connected to a 4-cylinder engine. No matter how hard you push, the engine isn't going to run any faster. Formax changes that by signaling each level of testosterone production, replacing your old 4-cylinder with a supercharged V12. Get Formax. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Formax banner ad today.
Jumping higher, left and more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. The discussion is about commercial gyms right now. Gordon, I've got some questions for you from
sure.
the standpoint of being a commercial gym manager. Okay? What do I do as a customer of the gym when the girl that parks herself next to me on the elliptical machine, I'm on the elliptical machine, I'm burning up an hour, and some woman comes by next to me, and she has bathed herself in some flowery-smelling perfume. It's so strong that my nostrils are closing up like the smell of ammonia is hitting them as I'm trying to breathe as I'm doing this cardio. Do I say something to her? Do I immediately abandon my machine and move clear across the cardio room if they even have one that big? Or do I call management and say, ask her to leave?
Oh, boy, questions like that, it's one of the things you have to probably try to be tactful and tasteful. I would suggest, if you don't want to ruin your workout and you can't move when you finish your workout, go over to management and explain it. And what they should do is take your name, write down what you're saying, and then if you can, find out who the member is, and then they should go and kind of talk to her. That would probably be the best thing, so there's no open confrontation. But I'll tell you what will happen in most gyms, and this is what I was told to do. If you came to me as the fitness director and complained about somebody, I'd say, okay, can you hold on 1 second? It's real important. I'd grab a pen and paper, and I would write down your name, write down all the information, so you felt that you vented your information, and you got it out, and I took the time to write it down that something was going to be done about it, And then we probably put it in a circular file somewhere.
Yeah, you throw it away. That's what I was going to say. And then you throw it away as soon as I turn my back.
Probably. You know, that's it. It depends. If you complain again, it's one of those things. Some people, you know, really love to basically have, you know, like the confrontation.
Yeah, but you know what it is? I'm thinking, okay, so I've become demonized because I like to deadlift. I become demonized because I find my, like this morning I trained arms and I was grunting while I was curling. You know, I become like some sort of aberrant individual because I do these things, which are, by the way, customary to do when lifting heavy weight. But I've become the inconvenience in the gym. So I'm sitting here thinking about all the people that inconvenience me, like the guy next to me, who happens to be a UPS pilot and talks to everybody, every girl that walks in the gym and has his cell phone with him, and he's taking phone, his phone is ringing. I want to say to him, look, unless you're a brain surgeon waiting on a brain that you're getting ready to transplant, put your phone away or turn the ringer off because nobody needs to hear your phone ring. I want to complain about him. I want management to treat him the way they're treating me for deadlifting. And the girl who comes in with the way too much perfume on, get a grip on yourself. You know, it's like people come to the gym to sweat, and we have to breathe. We don't want to breathe your eau de cologne. You know, it's like I want management to say, hey, this is your third offense, ma'am. If you come in wearing cologne again, we're going to give you your membership back and kick you out the way they kicked the guy out because he's deadlifting. Because the truth of the matter is, a cell phone on the floor, perfume in the gym, those things are contrary to the gym experience. Grunting, sweating, and lifting, those are the gym experience.
Absolutely. I think a lot of gyms now, I've even been to some will have signs about cell phone usage. I've actually seen some where they tell people to only use it in the front lobby. Also, a lot of them will have in their member handbook, or at least they used to before they became really cheap, when you sign on, rules of the gym, and some of them would be not to wear too much perfume, cologne. Although they really didn't, people didn't really listen to it. At least, you know, they signed it. It's one of the things I would suggest that you go find a gym with the atmosphere you like, a little bit more hardcore gym where men and women really go to train and not look to make it into, what they've done is they've taken the physical need of exercise and turned it into a social need for interaction, and it's the new bar. It's the new place to go hang out.
Right.
They're really not training.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. All right, let's talk about something uplifting now.
Okay.
You were telling me that you like the Muscle Saves Lives series and that you had some Muscle Save Lives stories yourself. Now, I think you kind of invoked one already. You were born with a heart problem, right?
Right. Yep.
So physical culture has saved your life then.
Well, I'd say pretty much it's maintaining it because, I mean, it's one of those things, you know, had open heart surgery when I was 4. Everything was fine. But, you know, growing up as a kid, I guess my parents were always, at least my mom was always a little bit overly restrictive and stuff. And then I just eventually found my way into training. And then somehow that training has turned its way into a career. And like I said, they've used the term on your show a lot of times, lifer. You know, at first I had to be a lifer just to make sure I'm still going to be here. But now I want to be because this information that you put on your show and we go over is so important to get out there to people because people are just, you know, really falling apart today. And I got a lot, you know, there's been some people, I mean, just the people thinking now that I'm kind of, you know, that, you know, machines are bad, ooh, what's this craziness for assessment, I know how to work out, but it's this type of training, this knowledge and skill that's out there that people can obtain to want to be a really good trainer, a really good coach that can really help people. With the Muscle Saves Lives, I mean, besides mine, it wasn't me directly, but my dad, from being an athlete all his life, playing a lot of semi-pro sports, narrowly missed a heart attack, had angioplasty. 10 years after that, because he had to change his diet, he was in the hospital. He had a minor transient ischemia attack. They were going to do bypass on his carotid artery. He wound up in the hospital having a stroke. Long story short, when I went with him to visit the surgeon that helped him through the stroke, did the surgery right then after he removed the blockage and stents the artery. They thought he was going to be crippled. He's made 100% recovery. He's up, you know, walking around, golfing, skiing, doing everything. And it's only because training. I mean, I think his conditioning kept him at a high level. He went through physical therapy. I started him even when he was in the hospital. doing basic exercises. And years, hopefully, even once he got released to rehab, I started looking into the nootropics that help with brain function. I even brought them to him in the rehab. Whether the doctors wanted them or not, he got them. And I do believe they made, you know, gave him some help towards making a full recovery. But the biggest thing is not even towards me and my family, clients. I get the greatest reward when people come up and tell me, hey, your training saved me from a serious injury. I've had at least four people who've had close encounters with falls downstairs. One woman was at her granddaughter's volleyball game. She slipped on the bleachers. And because we weren't training on machines, because we were doing squats, lunges, all these things to improve her balance and coordination, she was able to stop the fall and not fall down the bleachers. Yeah. Her husband missed his desk chair. If he hadn't been doing squats, would have fell right on his back and probably, you know, hurt himself. And the best one I loved, one day I was in a store after I left the gym, was out on my own. A woman was looking at me kind of funny, like, why is she staring at me? She comes up to me. She's like, you used to work at the gym, right? I'm like, yeah. She said, you did the assessment on me. I'm like, right? She's like, you saved me. I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, because when I assessed her, the curve in her lower back was bigger than normal. And when we tried to exercises to flatten it out, she was getting a lot of pain. To bring that to make her back flat with the normal curvature. And she went to her doctor, and they couldn't figure out what the pain is. They sent her for an MRI. She had a tumor on her spine.
Wow.
If she probably didn't metastasize or anything, they were able to go in, remove the tumor. They said the tumor had ruptured. She probably had problems. She could have had paralysis, all sorts of other injuries. I mean, it's things like that. Those are the best stories I find. I mean, you know, it's not so much even having a high degree of muscle mass in these people. That wasn't it. It was that they were doing the proper training. They had the movements. They worked on the balance, the coordination. They did all the things that I see on a lot of people who are at the top of the industry put into their programs. You know, they weren't training just to sit there and hang out and talk to people and look at the machines. They were doing real training. And that's the, you know, best thing I realized. With the commercial football industry, I think the basis sums it up is two quotes that I always tell people. One from Dr. Stanley Parris, pain never precedes dysfunction. If you got pain, you got dysfunction. You don't belong in the gym. You belong in the doctor's office to find out what the pain is. That's what happened to that woman. She had pain, and she was lucky she got me to do the assessment and not somebody else, because she could have been put into a, you know, workout routine or doing heavy crunches or something like that, which could have ruptured that tumor.
Wow.
The other thing is, great guy, every time on the show, a physical therapist named Gray Cook, he has a great quote, never try to put fitness on top of orthopedic dysfunction. The commercial gym industry does that every day. You're trying to put fitness on top of orthopedic dysfunction. These people can't move. How many people can't tie their shoes? How many people can't do a full squat body weight? How many people can't touch, you know, their toes? How many people can't lunge body weight fully each side of their body? They can't do these things.
Yeah.
So you have an industry that's trying to put fitness on top of orthopedic dysfunction. And all they're doing is creating patients to fuel the medical orthodoxy. So basically, most trainers are making referrals for doctors and physical therapists. I hate to say it, but that's weird. There's a lot of good in the industry. There's a lot of great people. All the guests on your show, they really, that's why I listen, they know what they're talking about. Yeah. It's the new people who are in college, just out of college, didn't go to college, have that one piece of paper that says, ooh, I'm a trainer. They're the ones that need some education because they're the ones that are getting hurt. But they're the ones that are willing to work for $8 to $10 an hour, so that's who the gym hires. They're not going to hire the person that gets to $50, $60, $75 an hour because they lose money.
Yep.
That's one of the biggest things learned. When my gym started to change with the industry, we got rid of senior trainers because the senior trainers made too much money. And that's really the unfortunate end of the commercial fitness industry. If people like the gym and they're happy with it and they're getting real training, that's great. If they're not getting the things we discussed today, they should really look elsewhere because at best, they're just wasting their time. At worst, they're probably setting themselves up for a serious injury.
Yep.
And I see it all the time. Because my biggest referrals are people who are coming to me because they got hurt at the gym. same source of referral as my own doctor. He sends me tons of people.
Hey, Gordon, do you have a website?
Yeah, it's www.advanced-fitness-concepts.com. Because if you don't use the hyphens, you'll go to a 24-hour gym somewhere in the Midwest.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny. Listen, Gordon, I want to thank you for coming on the show today to talk about this.
Anytime.
All right, take care, Gordon.
Take care. Thanks a lot, Carl.
I also want to thank Coach Wade Johnson and Rob Regish during the first hour when we did our roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy. Today is Thursday, which can only mean one thing. Tomorrow's Friday, Casual Friday, when Elisa Profumo will be in the studio with me. See you then. Thanks for listening.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.